What's going on, everyone? You know what time it is, that theme song. It is time for, once again, the EG3 show. My name is Eddie Greer, the third, with you guys here today on another new episode of the EG3 show, the weekend edition. The EG3 show, for those of you who are tuning in for the very first time, is all about the latest in the world of NASCAR, the three biggest divisions in all of motorsports, including the Camping World Truck Series, the Xfinity Series, and of course, the Monster Energy NASCAR Sprint Cup Series. Oh, I said Sprint, that's, oh, my bad. The three biggest divisions in all of motorsports, once again, I should say the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series without the Sprint. My apologies. Very excited to be on the podcast once again, the EG3 show. We're getting closer and closer to the NASCAR's own version of the Super Bowl, which is the Daytona 500. And oh, by the way, it is the first February, Friday, February of the month. How did I get twisted with all that other stuff going on? But yes, it is the first Friday of February in the first weekend edition of the month. Yes, of course, we got the football version of the Super Bowl. Of course, the original Super Bowl, quote-unquote, Super Bowl 52 coming up this weekend. Of course, in very cold Minnesota up there. To me, it's not very attractive to have something of that magnitude being... I mean, Minnesota, yes, it has a dome, but man, the temperatures up there this week have been flat out awful. I mean, talked about last week the brutal temperatures here that I haven't been encountering, and it could be coming back up again next week. But yes, Super Bowl 52 this weekend. You got Daytona action right around the corner. We just got done last week having cars on a racetrack. I will get to the Rolex 24 here momentarily. Of course, we have news from the Camping World Truck Series, Xfinity, and of course, the cars once again on track out west, who just actually got finished up yesterday doing a test out there in Las Vegas Motor Speedway. And oh, by the way, they have two dates this year instead of the original one. Of course, the one always in the spring, but now they have the playoff race along with that, so very exciting things going on with that as well. There's a lot to get to here in this weekend edition of the EG3 show. My name is Eddie Greer III. Yes, excuse me for that little bit of a kind of a wacky start to the show, but yes, very exciting. And after this weekend, of course, football will be totally be done, and we get to turn the page officially to NASCAR as teams are getting revved up, getting ready, fire suits all looking sharp, cars looking good for the start of Speedweeks, which is coming up in another week or so. But first, we're going to start with the Rolex 24. As I mentioned, yes, cars were on track. There was a sighting in Daytona Beach. Yes, I did not have a chance to sit and watch the Rolex 24 at all. But yes, I read up on a lot of news articles relating to that, and a lot of big names here in this race. But another big name also surfaced in those reports, as well as Chip Ganassi getting the milestone victory 200 for all of his teams. Of course, he dibble dabbles in this type of racing. Of course, we know him in the Xfinity and Cup Series, and also IndyCar racing, which of course you have Scott Dixon and the rest of the clan. But yes, Dixon was a part of getting Chip Ganassi win number 200, as it was a pretty much a Ganassi beatdown in the Sunshine State last weekend, as both of his entries did very well. Ryan Briscoe, Richard Westbrook, and of course you had Scott Dixon in the mix there. Also, he had another team out there, included Joey Hand, Dirk Mueller, and Sebastian Bourdais, another big name. There's a lot of big names here. Very exciting to read, to come across all the recap from the Royal 24 and find all these big names. Of course, I mentioned last week on the podcast right here, Adrian Amner was taking part of this, and he did a good job, and his teammates did as well. Got a good, solid top 10 finish. Afterwards, Amner said, this was the most tired he's ever been working in a sports car ever during a race. And Amner, a good start to his 2018 campaign as he now gets ready to endure another year with JTG Doherty Racing along with his teammate Chris Buescher. But yes, the Rolex 24 also included Roger Penske as well. And of course, they didn't do too bad. Both his teams finished in the top 10 in both divisions as well. And oh, by the way, Joey Hand, Mueller, and Bourdais, they finished second to Briscoe, Westbrook, and Scott Dixon. Penske had its entries. Helio Castroneves, Graham Rahal, and Ricky Taylor. The first team came in ninth, and the other team came in 10th. That was Dane Cameron, Juan Pablo Montoya, and Simon Pagenaud. Pagenaud, of course, races in the IndyCars series. Juan Pablo Montoya raced in the Cup series for quite a while with Ganassi as well. Another big name. See where I'm getting at with this. And there was another Fernando Alonso sighting there as well. Of course, we remember him, of course, for the Indianapolis 500 of last year, where he did a tremendous job until Moore took him out. And for some reason, when big name events happen in racing, Alonso gets taken out due to another mechanical issue. Moore issues for him, but other than that, though, Alonso continuing to make good name with other sporting activities. It's nice to see all these names, the Scott Dixons, the Helio Castroneves, the Sebastian Bourdais, the Alonzos of the world. And of course, you have Cup's own AJ Allmendinger in the mix as well, doing their thing in this type of event. And hopefully next year, I will pay attention a little bit more. I got a lot of stuff going on my end of the bar, on my end of the spectrum. But a lot of good names in this race. And of course, we cannot go without saying Scott Pruett. I used to watch him in these type of events back in the day. The Rolex 24 was his final race last weekend. The Rolex 24. And kind of went out on kind of a bummer. But Pruett himself, a very talented road course racer himself. A way to go out for him. And of course, I mentioned Wayne Taylor Racing last week's episode, with started on the pole. Well, they had issues throughout the night, and their Rolex 24 hours were short-lived by plaguing mechanical troubles as well. So they had their chances to win another Rolex 24 came up to an end. But yes, Chip Ganassi, a lot riding in the Cup Series with their team. Of course, Kyle Larson coming up short. We all know this by now. Larson coming up short in KC due to the mechanical engine failure, which everyone thought that he would get to Homestead and compete for the championship a year ago. Back in November, did not happen thanks to the engine. And of course, let's not forget Jimmy McMurray as well. Back for another year, the consistent Jimmy McMurray continuing to race in the number one Chevy Camaro, which made some huge headways here during the test. I'll get to that here later on in today's podcast. You're listening to the EG3 Show with yours truly, Eddie Greer III, once again. And thank you guys for tuning in to the Weekend Edition podcast here today. And that's pretty much the wrap on the Rolex 24 recap as we switch gears. Now, to first off, we're going to start off with the Xfinity Series and a guy that we've been talking about the entire offseason, it seems like, and putting Elliott Sadler to the back burner with William Byron going to the Cup Series in his rookie debut, rookie season here coming up in a couple of weeks. Christopher Bell, of course, the last year's truck champion, not going to defend that, graduated to the Xfinity Series, and he has made waves in the offseason with his dirt racing, winning the Chili Bowl, getting a ride with, graduating, getting a ride to Joe, staying in the Joe Gibbs stable, and driving, I think it's the 18 car. I should know this by now, but there's been a lot of juggling going on, not just in the Cup Series, but in the Xfinity Series. But I believe it's the 18, if not definitely the 20. But I read that it is going to be the 18. I am 80% sure about that. But I'll, ladies and gentlemen, I will get it right once we get going for sure. But Christopher Bell, the main thing about him, surrounding him, is everyone's looking at him to be the favorite to win the championship this year in the second series, the Triple A of NASCAR, that is the Xfinity Series, where Bell, he will be in top tier equipment. Obviously, the way he raced for Kyle Busch Motorsports, and now gets an opportunity. Well, we see him, especially late in the year last year, take flight in the Xfinity Series. Especially the moment always sticks to me in Kansas City, where he put the slide job on Eric Jones to win that race. He raced Eric Jones hard. Eric didn't like it. Things like that. You know the deal. In that fall race, a playoff race there as well. So he's not afraid to stick it to either a veteran of the Cup Series or your normal week in, week out Xfinity Series driver. So Bell, that's no shame at all. With William Byron graduating, kind of doing the same thing, winning a championship in the Xfinity Series a year ago, he can't defend that. So he has other ideas, and that's great driving for Rick Herrick Motorsports this year in the Fame 24 car. But yes, he surrounds a favorite, and that is big. Kind of for two reasons. Why? Because Junior Motorsports is still around. Yes, Dale Earnhardt Jr.'s team. And of course, he's basically put Elliott Salor to the back seat. Elliott Salor, all those heartbreaks, finishes in the championship. And I touched on this last week as well, seeing Elliott Salor, how heartbreaking he is. And back in November, that was the worst I've seen him yet, going after Ryan Preece. We know the history there. I just mentioned it again, going back to last week. If you missed last week's episode, by the way, you can check that out on Audio Boom. And let's get a social media plug in here while I'm at it. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, the announcement was made on our Facebook page as well, www.facebook.com/EG3Show. The EG3 Show has now added Spotify to its lineup. So now you can also, we are on Spotify as well. I'm pumped up for that as well. So if you missed the latest episodes of the off season, you can go online, go to audioboom.com or Spotify and find the EG3 Show right there at your fingertips and go back and listen to those episodes. But yes, Sadler back to the back seat yet again to an up-and-coming young guy in the sport, and that's got to be, for Elliott Salor in the drive, that's got to be frustrating, knowing that you've been close probably three or four more times, and yet you get a backseat to a young guy. Last year, it was William Byron. Year before, it was somebody else. This year, you have to deal with Christopher Bell, and you have to deal with Ryan Preece again, and now you have to deal with your teammates as well. A new teammate, Tyler Reddick, and let's not forget a forgotten name in this mix, Justin Allgaier as well, with GRM as well. So you have all these missing pieces in the mix, and Christopher Bell, hey, why not? You know, he's shown he can win any Xfinity car, and not only that, run in the top 10, top 5 each and every week. So that's really, to me, that's no surprise at all. Elliott Salor, at some point, and I kind of mixed it in it last week, he is going to have to seize the moment. You can only be put yourself in the championship four situation so many times before your time runs out. And Elliott Salor is going to have to figure out a way to beat these guys if he's going to finally grasp the Xfinity Series trophy at the end of the year. Stat plain and simple, and yes, he did not win a race at all a season ago, going back to his three wins a year prior to that. But yes, Christopher Bell, the noise has been made around him. He's been making noise on a dirt track here this offseason and making big headwaves and carrying that headway into the Xfinity year. We're going to be seeing him a lot, and it's not going to be the last we hear Christopher Bell. That is for sure. I'm 100% sure about that. Moving on, switching teams in the Xfinity Series. Richard Childress Racing with that Hendrick Alliance. They will be... This was interesting as well. They're going to be hitting the owner's title with five different drivers, including a guy that I kind of just written off during the off season. I'll get to that here momentarily. So the three car of Richard's Racing, the Xfinity Series, will have five drivers go for the owner's title this year in 2018. That with Ty and Austin Dillon. Yes, of course, we've seen them in this three car be competitive multiple times. You know, when those guys are cast in it, they're going to be up there fighting with you every single lap. Ty Dillon, Austin Dillon, part of that mix. And Shane Lee, a ARCA driver, will be take place in this as well. So a new guy in the mix for the three car this year, Shane Lee. So it'll be nice to get to know him a little bit. We'll be racing a little bit in this car. And of course, yeah, Ward Burton's son in this mix, Jeb Burton. He's going to get an opportunity to finally, I guess, in matter of speaking, race in competitive equipment, capitalize, all caps, competitive. We've seen Jeb Burton in the Cup Series not be good, of course, in crappy equipment, but Jeb Burton got an opportunity here to do something in his three. And the driver that I written off, I thought he was going to retire, but apparently he is retired, but let's move that category to semi-retired. Brennan Gaughan will be taking place, will be riding in this three car as well, and he most notably will be running his two favorite road courses in the Xfinity circuit. One of those, of course, is the Wisconsin Factor, of course. So with Brennan Gaughan making some noise, he's always been with RCR, course. He was the grandpa, if not the all grandfathers of the sport. Now that I kind of switched that over to Elliott Salor, but yes, Gaughan's going to be making a couple appearances in the three car, most notably on these road courses during that little road course stretch there in the middle towards the end of the regular season. So Richard Childress got something going on with five guys going for the owner's title this year. That is going to be interesting to watch in this Xfinity Series season to see how it all plays out. And yes, you have, of course, you have the normal driver championship, but you also got to keep an eye, ladies and gentlemen, on the owner's title as well, because you have different guys being switched out. Of course, with the new rules now being in place for sure this year. I thought it was going to be last year, but it wasn't until this year. A Cup guys can't be racing more than five times in a series. You got to give these young guys some growth in these divisions. And that I applaud NASCAR for. And I hope for fans been crying for this long before the rules are ever official. So we got something going on this year, especially in the truck series. We're going to see some new faces there as well, along with some old that we saw last year in the truck series. But the Xfinity Series, for sure, to develop that talent, we're going to be seeing some new faces. And then one of those in that three car, we're going to be seeing Shane Lee this season. So excited for that. You'll see the EG3 show. EG3 in the house this afternoon for your weekend episode of the EG3 show. Yes, after the Super Bowl, it is full go on NASCAR. Of course, baseball season starts up here next month, but it's full go racing after this weekend. So getting ready for that as well. Of course, it's racing not until another week though in Daytona. We break out all the divisions racing in the capital Racing Capital, that's Daytona Beach, Florida, folks. So very pumped up for racing to get back on the tracks officially here in another weekend. We have a lot activity going on here this week, including in the Camping World Truck Series, where Jordan Anderson, this name should be familiar. He's been running, he ran his own team last year, and he's going to continue to do that. Not only that, but take over his own team. How funny is that? But he's going to be sporting a new number this year, and that number is going to be translated to 3. What we just talked about in the Xfinity Series, well, Jordan Anderson will be running the 3. Last year, he was the 66 truck. This year, he's the 3 truck, and he has more trucks to work with prior to last year, where he only ran 1 truck. I did not know that at all. That is crazy to take 1 truck and just to race it throughout the year where you're supposed to be at. So definitely that's awesome, man, to see him and him and his own team put in the work and get last year and go to every place, well, almost every place on the schedule. I think, I mean, I'm not 100% sure, but I believe he was at least most of them for sure. Jordan Anderson doing what he loves to do best, go out there and compete with the big dogs in the truck series. He's going to have more to his repertoire. He's got a few more trucks. One of those trucks from Brad Keselowski Racing, who shut it down last year. And he's got a couple more other trucks in the stable now, too, to work with as well. And he most notably noted that one of his trucks are going to be specifically raced in Daytona and Talladega as well. So got a lot of exciting stuff going on for his own race team. And yeah, that's how most people do it. How most people don't do it. But hey, you want to do what you want to do, you have to put in the work. And Jordan Anderson and his employees have certainly need to get the credit that they deserve. Big time credit. And now he also talked about a little alliance as well that should help him out as well. I believe Henrik was name was spelled out in his little mini press conference at 2. I'm pretty sure it was, but I might be wrong. You can email me that and we're good, all good for there. But Jordan Anderson again in the Capable Truck Series returns. And he's back with more trucks to race with now than he did all of last year. And has a new number, the number 3. That 3 number, though, is obviously, we all know this, for all the NASCAR fans in the country, that 3 is a special, special, special number. I said it special 3 times. Whoa, watch it there. 3 times. And Jordan Anderson is going to step up his game a little bit, though. Maybe he's going to compete. I think he's going to be just fine running that truck. I mean, anything can happen at Daytona Talladega. We've seen it in the Cup Series where lower-level teams step up and make hay when their opportunities arise, especially in these type of racing. And we're going to see here in another week or so, we got pole qualifying in the Clash after pole qualifying this year. That's going to be exciting as well. So full packed day in Daytona in another couple of Sundays there down there in the state of Florida. Jordan Anderson is ready to roll, and they're ready for different challenges this year. And they got a challenge now going out there and trying to improve status quo in the Camping World Truck Series. You'll see once again the EG3 show right here with me, Eddie Greer III, here once again. So we covered all that. Rux 24, Xfinity, in the Camping World Truck Series. And now we're switching gears to the big series, the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series. I still don't know why I said Sprint earlier, soft show. That was kind of weird to say that. But yes, the Monster Energy guys were out west. And before I touch on the test a little bit, Danica Patrick, I mentioned this last week, but I failed to probably announce it to you guys. You probably know the story by now. Danica Patrick showing the colors of her new team and, of course, new sponsor as well. It's all green, number 7, and I'm pretty sure I did not say this last week, but Danica Patrick is going to be racing with Premium Motorsports for her last race in the Cup Series. Let's not forget now, she's not running the full time no more. She is calling it after this race, and of course, she still has to Danica double what they're calling it. She's calling it this season. She's running this race if she can make it, and running the Indianapolis 500 in May. The two biggest sports, all of more sports, just about. So Danica Patrick trying to go out on a better note than she did at Homestead, where she crashed on a kind of a normal basis there. But Danica Patrick has another shot here to make history once again. She made it her first race, the Daytona 500, a pretty memorable one, as she sat on the pole. Not only that, but led a few laps as well and finished in the top 10. So Daytona is one of these places that has been really good to her, and she was very competitive a year ago, running in the top 12 until got caught up in one of those crazy crazy wrecks. That was just a crazy race a year ago with a new stage race and all that. Things got wild right off the bat. We'll see what happens this year. It might be the same thing. But Danica Patrick will have another shot to try to go out of NASCAR. See, I'll lead exit the NASCAR series in a better note. And what better way? She has a chance to do it with Premium Motorsports. That's what's all that matters right now. And she has the number 7 with her in a different scheme. Same sponsor, GoDaddy, but a different car. If you haven't seen it yet, you should go check it out, because it looks like pretty much like the Hulk's color, but a little bit lighter greenish, if you know what I'm talking about. But yes, Danica Patrick will be running, going after, trying to get into the Daytona 500. Flip side, Joey Logano. So, Joey Logano last year, again, well-written story from a year ago. Joey Logano, being the competitor that he is, uncharacteristically, him and his team missed the boat after getting the supposed to quote-unquote win at the first Richmond race, then being denied that because failing post-tech, so it was encumbered, and then went on a swoon and missed the playoffs for the first time in quite some time. Logano spoke to a lot of media members this week, and he said about that, he was very blindsided by that, and we were all because of the fact that Logano made the championship for 2 out of 3 years, and that was just a turning point in the season for his 22 teammate Todd Gordon, his crew chief, that we're used to seeing his 22 battling up front for a race lead, wins and things like that, mix it up with the guys, and of course he mixed it up with Kyle Busch in last year's Las Vegas race at the end, and mixed it up with him again at Homestead. Most likely, in my opinion, probably affected that finish for Truex, who raced his butt off to win that championship. But Logano, for his team, they have a fresh start, opportunity here to rebound and get back, not only get themselves back into the playoffs, but win, and to make kind of a statement here this year. But he, like all the other drivers, Jimmy Johnson, Kyle Larson, has to deal with this push of the new generation of young guys coming into the sport. I have said this multiple times on the podcast this offseason that we are anxiously waiting to see how they perform. That's kind of the big thing too. So Logano, he has a chance to prove people here he can still get the job done. He finished 2017 last year strong. Let's see how they do. And of course, they didn't make any body changes. Of course, that's coming next year. Their manufacturer, of course, Toyota, made a body change last year. We saw what it did. Chevy, a lot of hounding surrounded them at the test here, which I will get to momentarily. But yes, while I'm on that subject, Kurt Busch backing Kyle, his brother Kyle, up about the comments made. And one line that sticks with me here this week that I keep thinking about too, that Kurt Busch said it in his little presser there, that some of these young guys, quote, did have not won a race yet. That included Chase Elliott in this mix. Of course, Erik Jones. But hey, these guys all ran well. Of course, Bubba Wallace is unknown. William Byron is unknown, even though he looked fantastic during the test out there. He was one of 16 drivers to go out there and test it out, and he was pretty good kind of combining the two. But yes, these guys, Kyle Larson, and he mentioned Kyle Larson in a different statement that the sport should be leaning towards Kyle Larson right now. Very interesting take, given, you know, we've seen these guys perform at a high level. But those questions will be Kurt's questions will be answered, trying to get, spit it out, trying to will be answered here. You know, it's going to start here in another week or so. But after Daytona, that's the real question that's going to happen. Who is going to be the players to deal with constantly as we start off here, revving our engines here for the season to begin? And, man, I can't wait for that. So, Kurt Busch, of course, siding with Kyle there, brother on brother there against the whole world, it seems like. But, hey, let's see what happens. You know, I don't think the trash talking is done yet. Those beans were spilled during NASCAR media days. Unbelievable. But yes, back now to the test that I keep dabbling out of. Las Vegas test concluded yesterday, and Wednesday began, of course, Las Vegas Motor Speedway. We'll be seeing them in another month for their first of two races this year. Las Vegas Motor Speedway held this test. 16 teams, as I said, were at this test, which included Kurt Busch, Kyle Larson, Erik Jones, William Byron, Bubba Wallace, and a lot more. And Chevrolet doing the work. Of course, they had to be tired of hearing all this Toyota talk from a year ago. So that what they bring out the Camaro CL1, which I have been saying multiple times during the offseason. And it has looked pretty good from the ways I've been hearing it. Anyway, from what guys are telling me, Kyle Larson, he hasn't lost a step from a year ago. Was a second faster than anybody else. But the story here, it's got to be the guy in the 24, William Byron, showing speed right out of the shop. But yes, and then Jeff Gluck mentioned something about, you know, does a test mean anything? Well, has to be meaning something in some aspects of it. I mean, testing was huge back in the day, and now you got to rely on these little computeristic data and whatnot to try to get your car faster and whatnot. That just wasn't what it was back in the day. You had to rely on what you've seen, your eyes, on a racetrack. That's where you get your data from. But now, you know, we're in a technology age now that we're seeing things different. We want to, you know, be like Kevin Harvick. We want to look at your data. Eric Amarillo, I want to try to, you know, gauge what I'm trying to do. Things like that. All this other stuff. And I'm like, man, you know, times have changed for real. And it's on how you want to manage your data. And Kyle Larson kind of made it all work sense to me. He says, you know, a lot of people, drivers, when they go to test, don't bring out the best stuff, which is very true. You want to work on certain aspects on this, that, and other things like that. But yes, he pretty much summed it up for me, pretty much in a simple way. He says, look, you know, it's very hard to gauge on somebody when you go back to a racetrack where you tested that a couple weeks later or a month later and see that you're struggling. So that's what Martin Truex Jr. was saying last year. That, you know, they only tested like once all year. Now at Homestead last year, and it says it's very hard to test because you test in this amount of time and you have to come back to the same track in a matter of 2 weeks to a month or 3 weeks, somewhere in there, and you're not as fast to work test. So, and a lot of this has to relate with the changes, the weather changes, the track changing, whatnot, things like that. So, yeah, very telling, but we'll see when the calendar turns to March and how these guys fare that were at this test. Especially Chevrolet, you know, testing out their new nose. Ryan Newman was up there in the mix also during this test as well. So, he gets some speed in that Chevrolet Camaro as well. So Chevy looking to turn some tables here, but all in all, though, you know, William Byron aside, you know, impressive in that. But the thing is, coming out of here, Kyle Larson, we all know what he did last year, how fast he was throughout the season, comes out guns blazing in Vegas and puts down a fast lap, and was fast throughout the test again. So things haven't changed, at least for the 42s aspect. So it'll be definitely interesting here to, when we go back to Las Vegas. And then not only that, we got to go to Atlanta first. I know Atlanta's old, you know, everyone, this old surface, you know, like a Darlington-ish, where you don't have tire for so long. You have to rely on basically your long run speed here. Las Vegas is kind of still a newer, a little bit newer asphalt. So Atlanta, Las Vegas is kind of the same thing. There's mile and a half tracks, and we're going to see off the bat, interesting to see how Kyle Busch, who was a rocket ship in the second half of the year, and Truex do as well. That was rolling through my mind last night. I was studying these numbers here, put down these tests. Of course, they're only like showing like one lap, but you know, Larson being as fast as he was, and then you have, of course, Byron, who was right there with him. And then you go down here, you have Eric Jones put up a nice lap as well. Not close, really not close to what Larson was putting down. Then you had Ty Dillon, who was testing out there. Casey Kane with this new Levine Family Racing number 95 team out there as well. You had Cole Custer out there doing some work out there as well. But the main thing here is Kyle Larson reminded everybody, you know, how how fast it was. And it, at least that's a good start for him. You know, being out of the two-day test, being as fast as he was there in that test. And another thing for the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series this week, of course, I mentioned a little bit about, you know, maybe a teeny bit about the process of inspection and whatnot with Joey Logano's situation. NASCAR is going with, it's been talked about all year, they're going to go with a different system, a laser projectile system, where they're going to look at three different stages of your race car. They're going to look at different patterns and stuff like that. Very cool. You're listening to the EG3 show. My name is Eddie Gritter III, and thank you for listening once again to the weekend edition of the EG3 show this weekend, recording this on a Friday afternoon. But John Probst, the managing director, kind of went into explaining mode here about this new system and kind of explained it there that, you know, last year, you know, we've had NASCAR, especially in the Cup Series, had multiple issues with the inspection process, not getting cars out to qualify. You know, especially, I think, you know, the two races at Casey that I went to definitely had a problem with that, not getting all the cars out on the racetrack with the all these stages of inspection. Like, what is going on? Why can't teams get it right the first time? I don't know. But this process, at least from what I've read and what I've seen on video, looks to be a lot quicker than some 8-stage process. He said it was going to take 3 minutes to see if your car matches the patterns in lasers in the little like arena for the car. So it's very, very cool to see that. That, like I said, things have changed here in NASCAR, especially, you know, we the young guys and the new generation of guys and a new generation of how to check your own race car. And there's been already been kind of like a pregame of sorts. There's been like 20 to 30 teams have already went through a practice run and stuff like that. So yeah, so these teams trying to get used to this system, and it's only going to get more beneficial. But yes, they're going to be needing more practice as the season begins, especially how the Daytona works with the restrictor plates and all that other stuff, and the ride height on the front, and other materials that involve this quick process that you don't pass. Same thing. You got to go through it again to make sure everything lines up with the laser. So, a lot of change happening with the sport right now, and a lot of teams are trying to make the adjustment here as we continue to move closer to speed weeks. All right, ladies and gentlemen, here NASCAR on NBC will be well represented in Minneapolis here this weekend. Of course, Dale Earnhardt Jr. told you guys this last week that he is going to begin his stint with NBC doing some stuff with Super Bowl. Well, he is going to be joined by defending champ Martin Truex Jr. and Ryan Blaney, EG3 show winner. Of course, for those of you who don't know the EG3 award, I keep slipping that in there on the offseason podcast. The EG3 show, I had an awards show on a podcast on this podcast, and you can find it on Audio Boom and Spotify. And EG3 award is all about pretty much all around achievements, you know, on and off the track of NASCAR. And Ryan Blaney was the winner last year of that. So, pretty much in summarizing it for you guys, don't have enough time to gouge in more details, if you will. But Ryan Blaney doing his thing up there as well. And they've been filming stuff for the pregame, and they've been outside. I feel bad for them guys, especially Rutledge Wood. Rutledge Wood doing some things out there, but like I said in the top of the podcast today, this is not your idea Super Bowl location, if you will. If it wasn't for this dome, this would be flat out boring. I haven't really been got up into festivities, obviously with my team losing, but yes, but just the location and all that other stuff. Fortunately enough, it is in a dome, so yes, I haven't missed Super Bowl in quite some time, and I'm not going to miss it now because of the location. But yes, to me, it's boring. But when Sunday's over, I'll be glad to be done with football. It's been frustrating enough to watch this season with the way, at least throughout peaks and valleys of the season, how my teams went. But going to be interesting now. I wasn't actually going to watch the pregame, but now I am. I am going to, because of the fact that these guys, to me, they're going to do good. They're going to do NASCAR well. And with millions of people watching this weekend, the Super Bowl, Justin Timberlake doing the halftime on Sunday night, that they're going to represent NASCAR well. Martin Truex, MTJ, has done a fantastic job. He's been flat out everywhere. And I'm definitely interested to see how his team prepares going into Speed Weeks and then beyond that. So definitely, definitely fired up for Truex and all of NASCAR, really, for that matter. But yes, Dale Earnhardt Jr. will be doing some of the coverage over there with Wood, Blaney, Truex will be there. And of course, by the way, Martin Truex Jr.'s Eagles are in the Super Bowl. And of course, him being a longtime fan, I bet he is pumped for that. And hey, you know, speaking of Super Bowl, I don't have no horse in this battle, but I would like to see the Eagles pull this off. But when I look back to predictions here in this offseason, exception for the Falcons and Jaguars, I pick almost wrong. So for me, I think I'm going to stay neutral. But if I had a horse, I would like to see the Eagles in that defense put Tom Brady to the test here and try to get it. But you know, with Bill Belichick and that coaching staff, especially with him losing both assistant coordinators after this game, we'll see what happens there. But hopefully, it is going to be a good game on Sunday between the Philadelphia Eagles and New England Patriots. Gronk is cleared from proportional concussion protocol, so that's good for New England's aspect. So definitely interesting. I think coming out of this, for me, the matchup I'm going to be looking for in this, to me, is going to be the flip side. I got to go with how Nick Foles does against the New England Patriots defense. That's what I'm going to be looking at this weekend, is my matchup to watch on the EG3 show, is that matchup. Everyone thinks it'll be Tom Brady and the Eagles. I think the Eagles defense have a chance, especially that front four, to put some pressure on Brady and to cause some havoc pretty much all game. That's what they're going to have to do. They've been talking about it in their media days throughout this week. They're going to have to play a full 60 minutes. They cannot let up for a second. And it's Brady. And they should know that watching what they watched last year in last year's Super Bowl and in the playoffs against the Jacksonville Jaguars, we had an opportunity to close them out, but somehow did not. But yes, Nick Foles, the backup QB, has something at stake as well. He has a chance to be like the third or fourth quarterback back to be the backup quarterback that leads his team to the championship and to win it. So that's what's on the line for Nick Foles. But how he plays against the New England Patriots defense, you have a chance to move the ball on him. That's for sure. So let's see how he plays in the biggest stage of his career for sure. He's played pretty well this postseason, despite all what went on with Carson Wentz going down, everyone fleeing ship and being scared. Nick Foles stepped up and played pretty damn well and has the opportunity to lead the Eagles to the promised land and set off a huge celebration up north. But the other team up north, New England, you know, these two teams have met before in the Super Bowl in Jacksonville. That was a terrific game back then. Terrell Owens, Donovan McNabb going against Brady, Rodney Harrison, Teddy Bruschi, and that team there. That kind of went down in the wire as well. And of course, that name, one name sticks out was Deion Branch, who had himself a fine game and won the MVP. So, yes, that, see, things are triggering here a little bit. But, yes, but on the racing side, that NASCAR NBC is going to be well represented. I'm going to be tuning in to the pregame. Yes, I will, for that. And I'll be paying attention to what they put together. The exciting stuff for NASCAR right there. All right, ladies and gentlemen, number of the week I'm going to leave you with is kind of a big one. 700,000. That's how many points, data points, quote unquote, that the new computer system has to for this new inspection process on the racing car this season. Of course, they're going to have one for the Cup side, one for the Xfinity, and there's talks of one having on the trucks as well. So they have three different ones as well. So 700,000 data points used in this new process to see if your car matches the car data in the laser expression process, the computerized laser expression process. So, wow, I was blown away by that. And obviously, if you're listening, wherever you're listening to on your computer or your device or whatever it is that you listen to this podcast to, you got to be blown away by that. That's got to be something very, very a blown. That was a wow factor there. So this process is going to be like any other, but a little bit more quicker. I'm going to take a little bit out. This should be a lot quicker than the using the old templates on everything. And the stations, that took entirely too long. And, you know, we had a lot of grief about missing qualifying for these teams last year. So hopefully that minimizes some of that and gets everyone a chance to run a couple laps. Or, in this case, to move on through the qualifying rounds. So that's your number of the week, ladies and gentlemen. And that's going to do it for the EG3 show this week. Remember, remember this as well. If you have any questions or if you have a question that you'd like to be answered, you can email me. This is going to be something new this season on the EG3 show. And the email is going to be my own, Greer3Eddie@gmail.com. That's G-R-I-E-R, the number 3, Eddie, E-D-D-I-E, @gmail.com. And chances are, if you do have any questions for me, leave your name and your question, and chances are it might be answered on the next episode of the EG3 show, and I'll have an answer or somewhat have an answer for you on what I think about the question. So yes, Greer3@gmail.com. If you have a question that you want answered on the podcast, you can send me those. Remember, leave me your first name and your question, and maybe your show might be on, your question might be on the show next time. So, yeah, we're going to add that to the mix. And, of course, yes, ladies and gentlemen, of course, Audio Boom, you've had that all this time, and the announcement wasn't made earlier in the podcast, if you wasn't paying attention, we have Spotify added to our garage lineup as well of podcasts, or I should say sites that you listen to our podcasts as well. Yes, so audioboom.com, like usual, or you can have Spotify with you as well, and you can find the EG3 show, and it should pull up right there, easy, and it has our latest episodes and our old ones as well. So definitely very, very happy to see that on there as well. So Spotify, Audioboom, audioboom.com, EG3 show, and of course www.facebook.com/EG3 show, where that's going to be rolling pretty soon as well, but a little bit more updates on what's going on throughout the week as we get closer to Speed Weeks. Man, it's going to be fun, but for right now, EG3 is going to be signing off right now. Join the movement, folks. EG3 show. NASCAR is about to get serious. Super Bowl this weekend, and testing was ruled by the Chevys. EG3 show rolling out. You have to listen to the EG3 show. Thanks for listening. Hey, we'll do it again sometime soon. We out.